We're talking with Jeremy Corbell, Joe Murgia, and Danny Silva about this UAP Task Force Office of the DNI report that was released to the public. 9 pages, but a lot of stuff crammed into those 9 pages, and a larger version classified with sensor information, more specifics, maybe video and photos that was provided to Congress. We still don't know exactly what's in it, but we have a pretty good idea based on some of the leaks that, have come Jeremy Corbell's way. We're going to get into some of that, what might be in that one, and more on public reaction. Some of the details we haven't touched on that were in this report, of the 144 cases that were analyzed, 143 remain unexplained. We're going to come right back and have more on Coast to Coast AM. We heard a mention from Jeremy Corbell in the first hour about UFO Jesus. His name is Ryan Robbins. He always has really entertaining and insightful observations about developments in the UFO, UAP subjects. Here's one that he released, a little clip of what he released after this report came out.
Things are looking up if you're a UFO fan. If you're a debunker and skeptic, well, you're probably just going to get more and more puzzled why this is continuing and hasn't fizzled out. There's a lot of assumptions made about this world and how it functions, and those assumptions will die. And with their death, will become a new world, a better world, a world of reality. Beautiful. Thank you so much for joining me on this journey. I wouldn't want to do it alone. I got all of you to accompany me.
Get ready, people. It's going down.
That's UFO Jesus. We'll have Ryan Robbins back on the show pretty soon. You know, we're talking about this UAP Task Force report, some of the information that they gathered. There are a lot of complaints that it was short on specifics. I saw quite a few specifics. UFO Joe, there were 143 unexplained cases out of 144. 80 of those cases were documented on multiple sensor systems, so they're not mirages or clouds or seagulls. Is that how you saw it?
I did, and you know, one of the more important aspects they talked about was 11 incidents involved a near miss. I mean, that alone, George, is a massive safety issue. You would think if that was the only thing we were dealing with, this would be a priority. And then we had the 80 objects on multiple sensors. And people want to know, you know, like, what else is in the report? What else was there that we didn't see? And one more thing, signature management. So these objects are trying to remain cloaked. You're trying to keep whatever signals they're putting out, they're trying to keep that to a minimum. So it tells me whatever they are, they don't want to be detected. So that may go to a little bit trying to figure out what their intentions are. Maybe not, you know, because then we have 2019 West Coast, and those objects are being blatant. If those are UAP, they're being blatant. So I don't know exactly if either of those. Those are kind of contradictory as far as intentions. But what might be in the classified report, so I was at UFO MegaCon, which I saw you speak a couple of years ago, one of my favorite lectures. So I went down there last month, and we surrounded Danny Sheen after his lecture. It was Alan Seinfeld, Nicole Sackett, and we triple-teamed them, and we said, Danny, tell us what you know about the Inspector General, you know, their evaluation. And one thing he said that Alan was able to get out of him, he said, I saw a picture taken from an F-18 out the cockpit. You could see the cockpit of a Tic Tac 50 feet off the wing. Elizondo has spoken about something similar. I think this is what he's talking about. He said another picture that Sheehan saw was an object that was just in formation flying along with these two F-18s. And I said, did you see this from Lou? He's like, no, I did not get this from Lou. He has his own sources. He won't say. So that kind of, if that information is being shown to Sheehan, it's obviously not classified. That's something we can see. I hope that leaks. I want to see that. That's not sources and methods. Maybe their thinking is, this is just too blatant. People are going to realize this is not something that we've constructed, so we can't show them. So, you know, hopefully that stuff leaks. I am a fan of leakers. As long as it doesn't put our servicemen and servicewomen in harm's way, leak away, just like what Jeremy's been getting. And Jeremy has been doing amazing stuff. I watch Jeremy on TV to learn how to talk. He is really specific about what he says, and he's really good with it.
Well, don't tell him that. Don't tell him that. It's going to be hard enough to deal with it. I'm coming to Jeremy in a second. Danny, you know, one of the other pieces of data in there in this report was that there are 18 cases in which these UAP demonstrate really remarkable technological capabilities beyond what we have, beyond what we know that exists in any arsenal in the world. That's a pretty good piece of info, and you have to believe they've got more than just those 18.
That was the really spicy part when they're confirming the advanced technology. And even if, you know, it's chestnut checkers, like I said earlier, and even if we're not talking about aliens, which or things that the Coast to Coast audience is aware of, we can bring these things to the national media and the public, the uninterested public, not the Coast to Coast fans, and tell them, hey, this is a security risk. There could be drones. There could be advanced drones from other countries. And that's a great way to get them involved. We don't have to talk about aliens or anything like that. Another thing is, this is what the UFO community wanted. We kind of saw the same thing when Lou Elizondo came out. People for decades were asking for some sort of person from the government to come out. And now we know that there's a program going on currently. And now we have a report. People were asking for this report, and now some people aren't happy about it. So I understand that there isn't everything in the report that they wanted, but this is also what we've been asking for, and we need to keep that in mind. Another thing I think we need to be aware of and bring to the public is that there's a current task force going on. There's a current UFO program going on. When there was the reports about the ATIP in 2017, they said it was over. We knew it wasn't over, but they were saying it was over. So I think the public kind of was able to put that in a box. Now we know the name of the UAPTF director. We know there's a task force currently going on. So this should get people involved and kind of make them more aware that the government is taking this very seriously.
Jeremy, you know, we're all wondering what is in the report that went to Congress, the larger report with the classified info, the sensor info. You have some insight into that because you've been able to break these videos that we've been talking about, the USS Omaha, that sphere that traveled along with them, the pyramid, the really weird pyramid video that was also released. So you've seen other, you have access to information about other things that are in the larger briefing document that was put together before the UAP task force was officially designated by that name. You're suspecting that we're going to see more of those images one way or another?
Yeah, I know for a fact we're going to be seeing more of those videos and images for sure, starting on Tuesday. So check it out. We know there were about, and I reported on this, there were about 10 videos and 12 photos in the original kind of UAPTF classified briefing. It's interesting to me that there were 14 videos that were part of this congressional effort, because I know for a fact we gave them four of them, George. So it's really interesting to me that there are high fidelity imagery and video of UFOs that our government has. I know that for a fact. So the mechanisms for reporting these is broken, and we need to work on that. Well, I should not be part of this equation. You and I should not be part of this equation. They should have had all that information before, but I will tell you right now, not only am I aware, but I possess other photos and videos that will be going public. I am just making sure that nobody's going to be harmed, the reporting process and how we are reporting on it, that it is legitimate, that it is validated. It does no good if I just throw things up on the internet, right? So look, it is a bright future. You know, people can be upset it's not all coming out right now, all at one time, but if the government's not going to do it, it will come out. And it's not just military, it's civilian as well. You know, first time I'll ever say this, but look, I have received some of the most compelling thermal imagery of UFOs from people, obviously in the military, who have come forward, but also from civilians, from people that work on these, you know, that have a position where they can fly jets, as an example, where there are what they call synthetic vision systems. These systems overlay FLIR imagery, so thermal imagery, with optical imagery. I not only have seen, but will be putting out, you know, after the vetting process, as I get through it, these really high fidelity images that are from synthetic vision systems, which, again, they overlay all these different types of optic systems. Our military sometimes is slow to adopt this technology because they have to bulletproof test it, all of it. So sometimes the civilian world provides more technologically advanced visuals than our military. So the future is bright, George. I don't know what to say. My beard is very happy.
I would never say that I have seen any of these images, but I'll just say, wow, you know, the Pentagon painted itself into a corner 74 years ago, probably for good reasons. You know, when it started, it was just after World War II. It was the start of the Cold War. It was a tense time for the world, but it's become harder and harder for them to keep this going and still be credible. I think they've caused a lot of damage to their own reputation, to trust in government, because of some pretty blatant lies about UFOs. Once FOIA became the law of the land, we got to see glimpses of that, internal memos and reports where they took it seriously, completely contradicting what they had told the public, you know, over the decades. So I think it's going to be tough for whatever study is done in the future, for whatever program might be set up. My hope is that there will be some kind of a permanent program that Congress will provide good funding for. But in the meantime, this incredible directive was dropped right after the UAP Task Force report comes out, 9-page report from the Undersecretary of Defense. And then it was followed up by the press secretary saying some amazing things, explaining it further. I read that as everybody in the military had better get on board. Danny, did you see it the same way?
Of course. And I just hope that it's shared with the public. But regardless, it's going to be funneled into the UAPTF or whatever kind of program is there. And we've been struggling with the Pentagon spokespeople kind of changing their stories and not being all the way truthful, or at least not being forthcoming. And now we have the name of the UAPTF director. So I'm hoping he comes forward, does press conferences himself. I don't know if that will actually happen. But I think the more the public gets to see a face and a name to this task force and know that there's a current task force, the more that they're going to get involved.
Joe, same thing. When you read that directive, were you stunned?
Yeah, I was totally not expecting that, and I saw that as a great thing. Of course, there are naysayers who said, well, they only told them to report incidents that happened in training areas, so if it happens during something like during some sort of battle or somewhere else, they're not going to report it. I saw that as nitpicking. I mean, technically, they're correct, but yeah, that's a really big deal. And then Danny mentioned the spokespersons, and we all know, we're all familiar with Susan Goff. And I just want to point out one thing in the Inspector General report, and I really would love to get your guys' take on this. So when Daniel Sheehan and Lou, they filed the complaint on May 3rd, and then they went to Washington on June 15th, and they met with two assistants from the Inspector General's office, a Defense Department lawyer who wanted to be there. Once Lou brought his lawyer, they wanted to have their lawyer. And then they also brought a colonel from the United States Air Force who was there for the meeting with Elizondo and Sheehan. So when I saw that, I'm like, what is a colonel from the United States Air Force doing in an inspector general inquiry? So if you guys have any ideas on that, that's something that was not many people have spoken about.
Jeremy, you have any thoughts on that?
No, not at all. I'm just impressed where this is all going.
We had reported, I made a statement in a presentation a couple of years ago, I think maybe Joe, that's the one you were mentioning, that these pilots off the East Coast, Oceana, the Naval Air Station, were seeing these things every day. And I don't think anybody took me seriously until we saw a statement on a major news program just a month or two ago that, in fact, they were seeing them every day, that they were seeing them all the time. Now, there's no specifics in the UAPTF report, but Jeremy, you and I had released something about these strange objects. They don't look like the Starship Enterprise. They're not shaped like a flying saucer, but there they are just sitting off Oceana, off this base, right where these pilots fly every single day, just sitting there, hours and hours and hours, not moving, even though it's high winds. And there is a reference in this task force report to exactly that.
Right. That is incredible, just because it's confirmatory to the public that you're an excellent investigative reporter. I mean, look, it's really nice to be validated. You know, when you go park at a restaurant and they validate you, I feel really good. So it's really nice when things come forward. But we know what we're saying is accurate. But it's really great when it's put forward into pop culture. Again, I really believe, after talking to UFO Jesus, our friend Ryan, you know, that there is going to be a PTSD for those of us that have been really into this for a long time. Because look, this is moving now into a pop culture realm. We are getting what we asked for, which is all the bright minds contemplating, thinking about the UFO problem. It's so interesting. I would like to say that, you know, we need to move the needle forward each day. One of the things that's going to be happening is people are going to be not only hearing, but seeing Commander Chad Underwood for the first time. That's going to happen very soon. I'll tell you that for sure. And he's going to be talking about how he was actively jammed by the Tic Tac UFO. So these objects out there, it's not just that they're hypersonic. It's not just that they have, you know, incredible endurance. It's not just that they have the ability to be transmedia. It's more than that. These vehicles have been with us demonstrating and performing sometimes. Sometimes they're just doing a job like they were with the Tic Tac UFO. When Commander Fravor engaged the Tic Tac UFO, it was doing a job. It was not my words, docking with something under the water. And he happened upon it. But we also have to realize that happening upon it, look, the SA system, so the system that we use to target these things, somebody told me it's like looking through a straw at a baseball stadium and knowing the seat number and the hat color someone is wearing. These systems target people out to these objects. They then slave over to their own thermal, their own radar. Like, for example, Commander Underwood, he brought back two forms of video. He brought back not only the video that is now famous of the thermal, he brought back video of his radar that will never see the light of day just because of the security clearances and because of the national security implications. There is high fidelity data and video and information, and it is being withheld from the American public. It sure as heck should have been shown to the Senate Intelligence Committee. So we have to stay optimistic, but we have to press because of what we know.
Danny, this is the kind of thing that frustrates people when they hear these statements about, you know, and I think Jeremy is 100% on the money on this. I know he is. We've heard similar statements from Lou Elizondo. Oh, boy, there's some really great video and photos and images behind the scenes, and it'd be great to see them. And you know, we haven't seen them. People get ticked off about that.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. We were hoping more from after 2017. And there's been, we got one in 2018, and then there hasn't been any until Jeremy and you, George, have released them this year. So I think the bottom line here is if the government doesn't get them, these armed service individuals are going to get fed up and start leaking them more to journalists, and that's a really important point. Another point is that, you know, Lou Elizondo is saying these things are happening every other week now. So we know about, what, maybe 1% of what's going on with the military? That's a huge time that everything is happening now. So we don't know if the UFO incidents are becoming more accurate now, or if it's just the sensors. So I'm not really sure what's going on, and if there is a uptick in the UFO events, what's going on with them?
Feels like a combination of things. Those sensors that came in 2019, right at the same time we started having a really big uptick, these dramatic things off the East Coast, the Omaha and the Russell and 9 warships altogether. Joe, you think it's both, or it's just more that the UFOs have upped their game, or it's more about the sensors?
I've gone back and forth on this. I mean, if UFOs have upped their game and are showing up in larger numbers, then there's obviously, we can speculate that it means they, you know, they want to be seen and they're trying to force our hand at something. But then again, you know, on the East Coast, you know, if their signature reduction, they're trying to remain hidden. It's confusing to me because it's contradictory. So,
yeah,
you know,
yep.
We're trying to figure out intent. Are they here to wake up humanity? Or, as somebody said, are they here to prepare the battlefield? Or you know, is something negative going to happen here? And I have no idea.
Hold on a second, Joe. Sorry to interrupt you. We got to go to a break. Joe Mergia, Danny Silva, Jeremy Corbell. We'll take a couple of calls from listeners here on the other side. So we're talking about the UAP Task Force report released by the DNI, Director of National Intelligence, on Friday. A lot of reaction from the public, some of it negative, much of it positive. And the negative reaction is a lot about what was left out. You know, that We were hoping to see some mention about nukes, for example. There's a lot of information that's floating around about UAP and their seeming interest in nuclear weapons, nuclear facilities, ICBM bases. Nothing in the public version of that report. Maybe it's in the congressional version. We're going to get back to our panel here, our posse, and ask them some questions and then open up the phone line, see what's on your mind here on Coast to Coast AM. UFO Joe, I'm sorry to interrupt you there. Did you want to finish that thought, or would you move on, or you have the option?
No, that was fine, George. I just want to say the most exciting thing for me the past, yet today, Eric Weinstein, a mathematician, deep thinker, he apologized to the UFO community. He has 500,000 followers. He's like, listen, I was wrong. You were right. There's more to this. I believe you now when you say there's more data. And I was like, I don't get emotional with this subject, but when I was reading that, I'm like, I had to hold back a little tear. And I know some other people were the same. And then we saw Megyn Kelly, who's a massive name in media. She's asking Lou Elizondo the questions, the proper questions. She's like, what if these are everywhere and we just can't see them because our sensors aren't pointed at them? So I'm really encouraged by that kind of reporting, and we need more of it, you know? So that's something to look forward to, and I never thought I'd see that day where somebody, just mainstream people, are hammering home the right questions to ask.
Yeah, for Eric to sort of reverse position and admit he was wrong is an amazing thing. Danny, any of your comment on media coverage? I've seen some articles that are pretty inaccurate. The one I mentioned before about it was in Wired, where they say, oh, gosh, this is all we get for $22 million. And, of course, there wasn't $22 million in this. Anything else pop out at you?
I haven't been noticing a lot of the crazy wrong coverage. I'm sure it's always out there. I'm just noticing all the coverage in general, and it's great. And a lot of these media guys that weren't paying attention to it 6 months ago, 2 years ago, when we were contacting them, now they're doing it. And now they realize that this is a story that they can't ignore. It's just, it's amazing. Not only is it political, but it's mainstream media. And a lot of people say, well, we already know what's going on. Why do we need the government? Why do we need mainstream media? The UFO community knows what's going on, and the Coast to Coast audience knows what's going on. But unfortunately, the mainstream public that doesn't care, our family and friends that laugh at us, they do need the government, and they do need mainstream media, and that's why the sea change is so important.
Jeremy, you know, looking back, you know, this report left open the possibility, a very slim crack of the doorway, that this is foreign technology or secret American technology. It didn't take either of those off the table, even though they said there's no proof of either. And I can see the debunkers jumping on that, or the problems with sensors too. They're just use those phrases from the report when whatever their next wave of reporting might be. But, you know, what's forgotten is that we've been documenting these objects for a long time, we being the U.S. government, our military. 74 years ago this past week was the start of the modern UFO era. They were seeing the same kind of craft with the same kind of capabilities back then. I mean, did the Chinese have drones over Roswell or Los Alamos? Did the Russians fly over White Sands back then? I mean, the same kind of craft that are being reported today, some of them pretty exotic, were reported back then, right?
Yeah, look, we have lived in a data-rich environment for a long time. I think we need to embrace the fact that people are jumping in with both feet just in the last year or less. That is so exciting. To comment a couple things on what you guys said, I mean, oddly enough, very funny, like Eric Weinstein ended up calling me the other week, and, you know, that it was so bizarre to me. Here's an individual, a very bright-minded individual. Yes, we have common friends. That's how he got my number. It wasn't because I was doxxed, which I was, but he got my number. And we talked at length, and it was so interesting. You know, he was incensed that the brightest minds that he knows, that they weren't included in the UFO truth. And that's so important. It's so important. So I'm glad that we have people like Eric and other people that are looking at this academically and scientifically. It really gives me hope. It really gives me hope. So, yeah, this phenomenon, it goes way back. Let's talk about something specific. I'm going to drop this next week. I've just been looking it up, making sure I got everything right. But the whole idea of what, you know, Ryan Graves has reported, these cubes within spheres, this is nothing new. I have an article from 1960 from a major publication. It talks about, by the way, flashing UFOs that were square objects within spheres. This is from 1960, and not only did a military pilot see it, but also a commercial airline pilot. I will drop that original news article sometime next week. So this is nothing new. We need to be happy we're getting what we want. The world is embracing the UFO mystery. It is time to move forward.
Thinking about this subject, you know, how science has really, I understand how it ended up this way, that they were told, you know, this is a career killer. There's no grants for this kind of work. It's all nonsense. You would interview, I have interviewed all kinds of scientists who are straight arrow folks who will, you know, they have inquisitive minds, but they wouldn't touch this subject with a 10-foot pole because they've been told there's no evidence. It can't be, therefore it isn't, kind of a thing. But I would think that for scientists, as with journalists, this is the biggest ever. There will be Nobel Prizes that will be given out on this eventually. If anybody could nail this down and confirm a non-human intelligence exists out there or here. So I would think any inquisitive scientist would knock down little old ladies to get at this subject matter. The same with journalists who are now finding out, hey, the public is really interested in this subject. You know, the reaction when we write a story about it is over the top. Jeremy, you first, then the other guys too.
Yeah, look, you know, it comes back to exposure. It's like what we're used to, this idea of pushing the boundaries of reality. We take for granted that, like, we will all embrace and accept different ideas. It's hard enough to navigate on social media opposing opinions. I can understand why individuals in prominent positions would completely dismiss the UFO topic because they don't want to be ridiculed. Look, people are human beings. They have feelings. I get it. But when you really focus in on this, it is an absolute failure of our scientific community. It's a failure of just the human approach to new knowledge. People were burned at the stake when we thought that we were, you know, the universe was moving around the Earth. Then we understood that we're all moving around the sun. And then we understand the universe is larger than that. It takes time. And I'm okay with that. It just takes time. So I think we're going to see a lot more engagement now with people that have a sort of permission that is being given to them. And I got to say it, by mass media. I mean, look, having people like TMZ, having people like Discovery and Fox, and having these shows that I've been a part of and I'm going to continue to be a part of, I think is really good. I think it brings everything into this place where people have permission to talk, to just ask the questions about what UFOs represent to humanity. I'm so inspired, you guys. I'm really inspired in this moment that we're going to make progress because of the openness of conversation.
Danny, same question. I mean, a lot of scientists out there are now having to reevaluate their lack of interest in the subject. And the same is true for journalists. I mean, all the articles are coming out. A lot of journalists around the world, mainstream people who have covered everything, suddenly have this task ahead to try to digest decades of UFO information and get their head around it.
And that's one of the main things about the report that people are forgetting. Journalists, we've been beating them over the head with facts and government reports now. And now that the report is out, they don't have a choice. They have to cover it. It's no longer their choice to just ignore it. And they have a lot of catching up to do. So now that this report is out, now that there's a task force and hopefully a permanent fixture, they're going to have to report it, and they don't have a choice. And this is a big deal, and the stigma will be gone.
Joe, same thing. Media and science both having to reevaluate their lack of interest in this subject matter for a long time.
And I think they're realizing, as you said, there are Nobel and Pulitzer Prizes awaiting whoever digs into this and gets us some answers. I think that's going to inspire some amazing media coverage. And look at the SETI website tonight, SETI.org. For the first time ever, they're more open about UFOs. You know, so one of the big thorns in our side has been Seth Shostak, the lead astronomer, senior astronomer at SETI, and they're opening their minds. So that's like, if that's not different, because the naysayers are like, this is really nothing different. This has been happening before. No, you're wrong. And SETI is the perfect example. If they can open their minds, anybody can.
Yeah, SETI and UFOs, they're not necessarily, contradictory. I mean, you can have both be true, that they're out, they're way out there and they're here too. So if that happens, that would be awesome. We'll take a call or two. First time caller, Paul in Anchorage. Hi, Paul. You're on with Jeremy, Joe, and Danny.
Hey, George. First of all, I met you a long time ago, and I have a lot of respect for you. I want you to know that. Gentlemen, I don't like to ambush people, but I want to disparage you and chew you out in the most harshest of terms. So I'd like to have your permission to do that rather than ambush you, if that's all right with you.
Yes. Go for it.
Thank you, because I'm going to be harsh. I'm going to try to stay calm if possible. To hear you, gentlemen, you have a positive spin on this moment is just disgusting in my world. And I want to give you a reason why, and I want to give you a resolution, and I want to make an emphasis on a point here.
Okay, Paul. Remember, we're at 11:48 right now, so the program ends at 11:55. So I hope you're not going to do a 12-minute dialogue.
Well, I'm going to give you whatever time you decide I get.
Okay, all right.
You, gentlemen, I trust people. But I'm going to tell you this. I am disgusted. I think you should be ashamed of yourselves. And here's my reasoning for this. I think of all the dead people, and I've been chasing these things for 30 years. I've never seen one, but I've seen the books of people who sacrificed their lives, their families, everything, and got disparaged and put in a grave over nothing. I think of those people. I think of a troubled nation and a world so divided now, and this issue is the epitome of everything we seek: energy, knowledge, understanding, a place in the universe. And yet you folks give these people cover for some of the most farcical reports I've seen in my lifetime. And you should be going after these people in the harshest of terms. These people should be, you should be demanding that every one of our legislatures set aside all their petty differences right now. And I want to see every damn picture in that damn file that goes back to 1960. Now, I understand secret stuff, but the point is that they have no right whatsoever to hold this stuff from us. And for you gentlemen to make out like you're some monolith or some new paradigm in our society, gentlemen, in my world, you're childlike in that attitude. And George, you know that. I've seen men sacrifice entire lives.
I'm really excited to answer because we have such little time. So is that all right, George? Can I?
Yeah, go for it.
Gentlemen?
Yeah, go.
Okay, look, I think that was a very respectful way to go about being angry. And that's cool. I absolutely share your anger. I share your frustration. However, the only way to make progress is to push forward from a place where you're going to have positive results. Do not think for one second that it is not infuriating how we are being shown little bits of information when I know firsthand there is more. So I would like to say thank you for being so respectful in the way you wanted to chew us out. But at the same time, please, you must respect. The only way to move forward is to face this head on and to use every means necessary to do so. So I appreciate you. I appreciate your passion. I really, really hope you can target and use that and focus that towards a positive goal as we are doing. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, I would say, Paul, that, I, as somebody who's been chasing this for 32, 33 years, banging my head against the wall, I feel the same way. I still see this as progress. And the UFO public to beat their chest and scream and yell and demand that we want to see everything and we want to see it right now has not worked. It has not worked. I think it's a good idea to keep the pressure on them, but there are secrets that need to be kept. The sensor systems that we have that's detected this information, that's collected this evidence, are sensitive and are classified for a really good reason. As one intelligence official told me one time, who has worked on this for a long time, he said, you can't tell your friends without telling your adversaries. I think there are some legitimate national security reasons for keeping some of that information from getting out. I think they've hidden behind national security for a long time in withholding information and lying to us. But I see real change here. I think things really are changing. But thank you for calling in. Joe and Danny, do you want to also address that call from Paul?
I agree 100% with Paul. You know, I'm pissed off too, but I don't think we're in a big enough group where we can make a difference yet. We are making a difference with media coverage. And also along those lines, why this hasn't come out, Luis Elizondo was asked recently if he believed there was an MJ-12-like group. And that's very controversial. And he said, he had seen evidence that that group exists, and he had a very close colleague that said to him that there's an element within our government in the black that was interfering with their capabilities at ATIP to collect and analyze data and information, a secret government-type group, and they would intimidate people. He personally hadn't had the experience, but a close colleague of his. So that's Luis Elizondo. So there's more than, you know, more below the surface of what we're dealing with. But I agree with Paul 100%. Don't have anything against what he said.
Danny?
The transparency that we're now seeing is what we're fighting for every day. And people like Jeremy and George, who are releasing the photos that were provided to them, is a huge step. Now we have politicians on the same side as the caller asking for this information to be put out to the public. So I think that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, UFOs are not a voting issue. They don't decide that topic does not decide elections. People vote about the economy. They vote about, you know, they love certain politicians, or they're worried about national security matters other than UFOs. So until it becomes a voting issue, you don't have a whole lot of pressure with which to affect how our lawmakers look at this. But there is progress being made. It's a really exciting time right now. And as I've said before, I never thought I would see this coming. The idea of we'd like everything you've got and we want it now is not a realistic position to have. We don't have enough power to force that, but progress is being made. This is a crack in the dam, and I'm very encouraged by it. Anyone else want to comment? We got about 30 seconds. So.
Yeah, inch by inch, life's a cinch, yard by yard, life is hard. Let Paul be a warning and a voice of the public. We have a right to know, a need to know, and a responsibility to find out the truth about UFOs. So I thank Paul for calling in, and let's move forward.
All right, Jeremy Corbell, looking forward to some good stuff from you coming this week. And I want to remind you, you're on the Fox special that's airing Tuesday and involved with the Discovery Science Channel project on Wednesday. UFO Joe Mergia, and Danny Silva, Silver Record. We have links to you guys' contacts if people want to check out your stuff. You're always both always cranking out great content. Thank you guys for being here. And anything else to say?
No, very excited about what we're going to see coming up in the near future. And I can't wait to see what Jeremy releases next.
On Tuesday, baby.
All right. Danny, Joe, Jeremy, thanks very much.